Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
Welcome into the Gary Parrish Show. It is GP's producer, Ben Adoya, filling in all this week. I got Connor Dunning and Brad Carson here in studio with me. Glad they're with me. Glad you're with me. And I hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruptions. And I hope you didn't think we'd come in here with no NBA news because, my God, the onslaught continues. Both playoff series last night took a wild turn. We've got some breaking NBA coaching news. So much coming out from the league in the past 48 hours. We're going to talk about all of that in just a second. But coming up on the show today at 4:30, I want to talk about unhappy NBA players because we got two young superstars who it appears are unhappy with their current situation. I want to discuss how this pertains to the Memphis Grizzlies because obviously we've got a few young stars who we hope want to be here for the long run. So we're going to talk about that in the next segment. Again, got some NBA coaching news as well. We're going to discuss a little before 5 o'clock. We're going to do four stories at 4:44. I want to discuss a few different things, including Memphis Grizzlies head coach Taylor Jenkins going full on Incredible Hulk last night. We'll talk about that. There's a new bowl game that was announced today that makes absolutely no sense to me. I'll tell you why. And something brand new is coming to every single NBA game next season, and I will tell you what that is coming up at four stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, we got Jeff Calkins. As always, Jeff had Dan Devine on earlier today, and they discussed the Ringer's new ranking of Disney Pixar movies. As the resident Disney expert here at 92.9, I have to obviously weigh in on this list. Jeff also went through some pretty great topics that Ron Olson sent him this morning. I want to touch on those because I think it's a very important discussion. We might talk sports too, who the hell knows. But first, guys, we got to talk NBA. It's been an insane 48 hours in the NBA. Let's just put that out there first and foremost. We had two series last night that completely flipped. We've had some coaching changes today. We got unhappy superstars. A lot going on in the league. So let's just start with the playoffs and talk about the games last night because the first series that came on last night, the Atlanta Hawks, they come back down 26 points in the second half to beat the Sixers 109-106. Atlanta takes a 3-2 series lead. By the way, I said Atlanta plus 7.5 last night. Just want to put that out there for everybody. The Hawks outscored the Sixers 40-19 in the fourth quarter, and this is the craziest part about the whole thing to me. Joel Embiid and Seth Curry were the only players for Philadelphia with a field goal in the second half of that game. The only two players that scored a field goal in the second half.
Ridiculous.
It was a choke, right?
It
was
it's one of the biggest chokes in the playoffs that we've seen in recent years.
Yeah, it was a complete choke. You know, I said in the last game, Embiid's wearing down late in these games. That's what's happening because this dude comes out and just wrecks Atlanta every single game. And then the fourth quarter rolls around and
let's just call it like it is. His knee's not holding up. Like he's hitting shots off the front of the rim. He's not making his free throws. That's like a sign of fatigue, right?
It's also the rebounding aspect as well, because like so yesterday, when I checked the stats of the game, I had a rec league game, so I started watching it at halftime, and I think Embiid had like 24 and 10 at halftime, and then he finished the game with 37 and 13, so he wasn't being effective from rebounding because he was getting worn down by Clint Capella. His strategy of basically just running around the whole damn time is working. Like you said, it's wearing him out in the fourth quarter. Ben Simmons though, man, like he has absolutely no excuses for not being able to hit like three free throws at least. He has to give them something more than that. He's shooting worse from the free throw line than NBA teams are this playoffs. It's embarrassing.
Hawks tore him up. Their bench tore him up, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
That's where they got him. And Tobias Harris really sucked, you know?
Yeah, the Ben Simmons thing doesn't make any sense to me. Like, this dude has...
The free throws?
Man, he...
It's just the free throws. That's really it.
I feel bad for the guy because, like, he's like an ex-Kardashian boyfriend, and the Kardashian curse continues.
You feel bad for him about that?
I feel bad for him because
it's coming to you, bro.
It's clearly wrecked his mental well-being. Like, this dude, like, cannot score the basketball anymore. Right. It's a freaking NBA All-Star. This dude cannot score the basketball. Put the free throws over here.
Sure.
I think... Okay, so he had 0 points in the game before this last one. I don't know what he finished with last night, but
eight total, two of four from was the 4 of 14.
Took four shots.
Yeah, he just didn't shoot.
8 points in the past two games.
9 assists, 4 rebounds. You know, he just didn't shoot, and then when he got to the free throw line, he can't make free throws.
He can't make free throws. So like, Philly completely collapses last night. Trae Young, he finished with 39 points. I gotta apologize to Trae Young. I got to apologize to Trae Young.
Don't apologize to Trae Young.
Listen,
he's supposed to be a star.
Me and Gary have gone back and forth about Trae Young so much over the past few weeks. I am not a Trae Young fan. I don't like how he plays the game of basketball. Mm-hmm. I think I'm validated just a little bit by the Woj report that came out yesterday that basically said the NBA is going to crack down on these dudes that create fouls and specifically mentions Trae and James Harden. I say all that to say, Trae Young is awesome.
You don't like the jump in foul thing?
I hate that. I think it sucks for basketball. It's not real basketball. I hate it when these dudes jump into other players and try to draw fouls because it's just not real basketball. It's just something that they've clearly figured out in the rules that they've taken advantage of, and hopefully the NBA changes that. But take that, put it over here. Trae Young is awesome, and I can't deny how awesome he is anymore. I'm still, again, not a huge fan, but like the dude is really great at the game of basketball, and he's likely about to take his team to the Eastern Conference Finals because I don't think Philly has a prayer in this series
anymore.
Well,
and he doesn't back down when he goes to an opposing arena. Like, he goes into these arenas, whether it's Madison Square Garden.
He's not scared.
He loves
or the Wells Fargo Center, and just lights their ass on fire.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite of what we saw from Giannis when he goes to, you know, to Brooklyn and plays there and just doesn't show up.
Right. Right.
So it's like, that's what we expect from a superstar, right? If you're Trae Young, and I'm not saying everybody expecting him to be like this, but it's like, I wavered in that first year because I remember when he got drafted so high and I was like, I think he's going to be really good and he's going to be a great shooter. And then I watched him in summer league and I'm like, man, I don't know if he's going to be that great. He actually didn't have that. It was like an up and down summer league.
He had a rough summer league from 3 point. Like, he just couldn't hit a 3 point.
He couldn't hit.
For
he was cold that first. So I literally backed off my bet. I'm like, man, I don't know about this Trae Young thing. And then it turns out, like, he really is a superstar.
I think, honestly, I think it took him until now to get out of the shadow of Luka too, because that was hanging over him the entire time. When, if you really want to go back and look at that trade, it was perfect because Trae Young matches Atlanta more than Luka does, and Luka matches Dallas more than Trae does. That's the GMs have talked about. That's the reason that they made
point,
the play.
To that point,
it's not
Trae
just
is,
for players.
And Luka's amazing all world player, but Trae is the centerpiece and helping his team more than what Luka could help with what they surrounded him with in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta's certainly done a better job of surrounding Trae Young with the pieces around him that are going to help him be effective. And thank God they didn't get rid of John Collins when they were thinking.
He's great.
Yeah,
he's great.
That would have been a huge mistake. But he deserves a ton of credit because, like you said, the two fan bases that he's been doing this in front of are Philly and New York, two of the hardest fan bases to go into and beat. He deserves a
he's
ton
a good
of
player.
Credit.
He's Trae Young is a real player.
Yeah, he is. So Atlanta takes the 3-2 series lead last night, and I think that series is over. I think Philly is wrecked after that game last night. Like, to lose that game, you're up 26. You two players score in the second half for you, besides some players at the free throw line. Like,
you need shooting, and
they're
done. You don't have it.
No,
you know?
They're done. So that's that series.
Seth Curry ain't gonna score 36 points the next game.
Hell no, not at all. And again, I think Embiid is clearly, he's wearing down because of the knee injury. It's not his fault. Like, the dude's awesome. Right. I think that's a big part of it. We've seen it now in the last two games. With
super
Philly.
Fun series though.
It's an awesome series. Yeah. In fact, the NBA playoffs like coming
in. It's been
in.
Great,
dude. It's funny
it's been great.
Because like this time a week ago, like it was kind of like.
We thought it was
set. Damn, we lost right. LeBron and like the you know
yeah, Suns are out and four they advance quickly.
Yeah, are these playoffs? You know, right. Dame Lillard's out. Like, yeah. Are these playoffs even going to be like right. exciting? They've been awesome. Every single game recently has been a lot of fun. And so we'll move on to the next one. Yep. Which I thought was just as surprising as the first one, because I thought Utah was going to roll last night, and they did early on. They come out and I believe hit a record of a franchise record 10 three-pointers in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And it was just looking like they were going to cruise in that game last night. And Paul George, man, that's another guy. You got to give him credit. Like, playoff P, you got to give that dude credit, because he knew he had to step up. And he did 36 points, 16 rebounds. Let me see where it is. It was him and KD are the only two players that have put up stat lines like that since the playoffs have started. So one of the great performances in the playoffs so far this year.
Terrence Mann punched one on Rudy.
Terrence,
did you see
Mann,
that?
Yeah, although it was barely.
I mean, he got him. I think he got him.
It was barely. He barely grabbed the rim. Like it was kind of one of those where he sold it really good too. He sold it well.
I think Mann sold it really nicely.
He sold it well. He almost missed it. It was close. It was close. I'm not giving it an A plus dunk.
I enjoyed it. A, it was on Rudy Gobert, and B, his making it a deal. I thought was pretty fun play.
Yeah,
you know. But Paul George can shoot free throws though. I mean,
Paul
he's
George,
a star.
Yeah, Paul George. Okay, so they beat the Jazz. Clippers beat the Jazz in Utah 119-111, 37-16 for Paul George. He becomes the first player in Clippers history to post at least 35 points and 15 rebounds in a playoff game, which that's pretty big, but like in the history of the franchise doesn't seem that great, all things considered. He joins Kevin Durant, the only player, like I said, to put up a stat line like that so far in this playoffs. Marcus Morris had 25. Reggie Jackson had 22. Clippers take a 3-2 series lead. But unlike the Atlanta and Philadelphia series, I don't think this series is over. I think that
you don't.
No. I think Utah is a better team, first and foremost. I just do. I think they're better. I think what happened last night is they come out, hit a franchise record 10 threes in the first quarter, and it's like, okay, like we got these dudes, no Kawhi, like let's roll. And
they do that every game too.
Well, that's why two days ago we were talking about it. It's all about the adjustments that the Clippers can make against the Jazz. They have the personnel to go small when the Jazz cannot go small because they don't have Mike Conley right now, which is it's a huge thing for them because they need a secondary ball handler, and we're starting to see that. Mitchell's ankle is starting to get to him. He has not been that great in the last two games, but in the first 8 minutes of the game yesterday, the Clippers tried to go big. They tried to go big. They tried to start the game big. They trailed by 7. Then they went small. They put Batum in, and they started to go into that. We're going to get Rudy Gobert out of the paint. We're going to attack Derek Favors in the pick and roll, and they never looked back. Them going small completely eliminates Rudy Gobert on the defensive end, and it opens up Paul George's lane. And it has completely changed their offensive game. Chauncey Billups, man, he really figured something out when he was watching that game tape.
He's going to be a head coach. There's no doubt
especially
about it. There's so many openings now. He's going to be one. I think I'd be shocked if between him, Jason Kidd, and Sam Cassell, you don't see one of those dudes.
I think two of the three.
I think two of the three is probably going to be a head coach next season. We did have some NBA coaches.
Do you think
coaches.
Penny will be one of them?
No,
I don't. I think, like, if you're Penny, why would you want to go to like? Why would you want to go to Orlando?
I think the only reason you don't leave is because you don't want the fan base to hate you.
See, I don't. You know, I agree with that. Like I think that matters. You know, Penny wants to obviously be loved here in Memphis, but I think
it's the only reason why you don't go.
I just think, man, you know, if you look at the teams that might like give him a shot, like if let's say the Orlando, why would you want to go there?
Well, there
that's
like
going to be a disaster forever.
You may not go to Orlando, but look, you got Boston. He wouldn't get the Boston job probably.
No,
you got Dallas. Probably wouldn't get the Dallas job.
No.
You're probably not getting the New Orleans job, so it's probably going to be the Orlando job, right?
The only two that I could see him getting are Orlando or the Indy job. I don't think he'd get Indy. I mean, Orlando, they've got a young core of guys, but they're still a couple years away.
I would not want to go do that.
But what would happen to him, I think, is he would get hired, and the Magic fans would think, oh, God, okay, yeah. Our savior
like
is
we
here.
Did.
That's what I was going to say. It'd be the exact same thing. However, he wouldn't get the patience that he gets in Memphis with
right.
the fan base that he would in Orlando.
Of course not. Right.
They would want, if they weren't winning right. within 2 or 3 years, they'd be like, all right,
it's
we got to figure something out, get him out. No. He has more security here. It just makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense for him to go right now. Maybe in like a couple of years, if the job's still open, he may go. It just doesn't make much sense.
Well, and let's see like how college basketball looks in a couple
right.
seasons.
Like
well, it's going to get crazy
up.
With this G League and then these developmental leagues because you're going to have like clearing houses basically for these kids.
Yeah, and we talked about Calipari yesterday, like how it, you know, he's a name that's being thrown around right now. Yahoo put out the report yesterday that he wants to bounce
possibly.
That Cal
that's
might
think. Speculating.
Now, he says
that every year.
In fairness, he says that every year to get a raise. Yeah.
I was about to say, what's his contract?
He's got a lifetime contract. He gets $9-10 million a year, and it's a lifetime contract. Like, he doesn't do it for the money at this point.
But if it starts stacking against him where he can't get the best players at Kentucky every
single
year.
That's why you go.
That's
right?
why you go. And so, I mean, that makes sense. I think he would want to coach in the NBA again, too, because.
Prove everybody wrong about the New Jersey job.
Because he stands by that he did not do a bad job in New Jersey, and to his credit, they did make the playoffs. It just didn't work out there for whatever reason. You're going up against freaking Michael Jordan, so you know what are you going to do?
Do you think Rick Carlisle will take one of these other jobs?
Okay, so that's the next set of news. Obviously, from today, the big coaching news that Rick Carlisle is out as Dallas Mavericks head coach broke about an hour ago, which I think is very surprising considering he's won a title there. They had a good team. They've got a good young superstar. Now, reports are coming out that those two were not working well together.
Luka
were not working well together. But
got to get along with your superstar.
You got to get along with your superstar. And at the same time, I don't know. I think it's probably a mixture of a little bit of all these things. But Rick Carlisle once upon a time played for the Boston Celtics.
I think that job just came open. It makes all of the sense in the world
sort of does,
for him to go to Boston. It makes all the sense in the world. They got the perfect personnel. They need offensive help. That is what Rick Carlisle does. Their defense is already decent. Just find them a big man. Get them Rick Carlisle, and they're going to have a really good season next year. They're going to have a bounce back year. You're going to get Jaylen Brown back. You're going to have a healthy Marcus Smart for the season. Jason Tatum's going to take another jump. Yeah. It makes all the sense in the world for him to go there.
I do think I would want, if I was him, I think first off, you've been in Dallas so long, and it's one of those things like, what have you done for me lately?
Sure.
It's been a while, you know, years removed from winning the title with Dirk. So it's like,
there's all this friction.
They just fired the general manager.
Can I ask this question about Rick Carlisle? Is he a savant? Like everybody, when they talk about Rick Carlisle, that the basketball nerd squad comes out and it's like, oh my God, Rick Carlisle, you know, and he might be, I just don't know because he had some pretty good players. He did win the championship with Dirk, but I don't know, man. Like, I wonder. I just go show me how you do it in Boston. I'll call you awesome if you go kill it in Boston.
And that's why the Celtics makes even more sense because you have the former head coach who's also like basketball nerd's favorite coach of all time.
They love the dude.
So you put them all together. It's like basketball nerd. Like,
oh my God,
yeah, it's amazing.
Two
like that
super
combo.
Nerdy white coaches.
Yeah, but they do. I mean. If you're Rick Carlisle, like, it's not really, like, okay, so you're leaving a superstar in Luka to go coach another superstar in Jason Tatum. Like, it's not like you're making some kind of...
It's not a huge leap.
You're not declining by going to the Celtics. Like, it might even be a better situation.
Might be a better job.
Going
with
there.
The front office stuff going on right now, it might be.
Yeah, so depending on what
it
happens
sounds like
that,
Dallas is a mess. So this, actually, Boston seems actually stable compared
to
that.
It's weird, like, I think that it is a mess right now, but it's one of those things where I think maybe burning it down and rebuilding it right now and just really focusing on Luka because it's also coming out like he's gonna sign that Supermax.
Sure.
So it's not like he's leaving anytime soon.
Right.
So burn it down, get him a new coach, get him a front office that he actually likes, get him a real number two that can actually walk and not Kristaps Porzingis, yeah, you're going to be fine.
Well, this is related.
I think they could be okay if they don't screw up the hire. They're going
to
be okay.
I think you're right, but you got to figure the Luka thing out because this is related to New Orleans because this is where New Orleans is a total dumpster fire because, like, the new report on their firing from yesterday was that Zion was, like, pissed off because they fired the coach. So it's like, and maybe that's partly, like, the kid who, like, you give him both sides of the ice cream cone and he hates both sides.
Yeah.
But, like, man, you got to get that right with a superstar before you, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so let's,
I didn't mean to pull New Orleans into this convo, but there's all these open, it's bananas in the NBA.
Well, we were kind of talking about it yesterday, like, with New Orleans, because when the reports came out, it sounded like his relationship with with Brandon Ingram was the huge issue. So, it's kind of like New Orleans, it's like, listen, y'all have Brandon Ingram, but you also have Zion here. You need to probably do what Zion wants before you do what Brandon Ingram does, because you already got him under contract. You can figure out stuff with him. Listen to what Zion wants. I mean, it is a player empowerment era. He is a second-year guy, but I think he has proven that, hey, like, I'm going to be the centerpiece of this franchise moving forward. It's not going to be Brandon Ingram. We saw what happens when he's our number one. He's not going to make it to the playoffs with him. Let's start figuring out how to get me to that number one position and start building around me and not Brandon Ingram. I would flip them, to be honest.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in the next segment. Well, we're going to talk about the two disgruntled superstars because obviously multiple reports today. We also got some quotes from Luka today. He's practicing in Slovenia trying to get them qualified for the Olympics. So I've got those, and I've got the Zion story, which I want to get into next. But first, one more actual game note. Tonight we've got Nets at Bucks, Game 6, Nets lead 3-2. I think this one's going seven games. I think the Bucks win tonight. Nets obviously needed a historic performance from Kevin Durant and a huge game from Jeff Green to get the last game. I think Giannis goes big tonight. What about you guys?
I think Bucks win. They're favored by 5.5, and these home teams are doing really well.
Are doing great, yes.
Except for last night, you saw the Sixers game, but that was just a debacle.
As long as they stick to their first half strategy on offense and just attack, 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 I think they'll be okay.
Well, and I don't think you're going to see Jeff Green go 7 of 8 from 3-point.
Also, I sent it to Bennett earlier. A stat came out today that the best defender on Kevin Durant the last 8 seasons has been Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's not really that close. Yeah. Tony's in the top 10, but he has been the number one defender on him. He has to step up and defend him tonight.
It's got
to
be Giannis,
two-time MVP. Show it tonight.
Yeah.
So we all agree that we think the Bucks are going to win tonight. That one's going.
I'd
love to get a game 7, too.
I would too.
Yeah, in Brooklyn. Like, you got some of the biggest stars in the league. Maybe they'll get Kyrie Irving back. Like, it's setting up for that to be a really good game 7. That would likely happen on Saturday or Sunday. I would think they would do it Sunday and try to get that, like, the premier afternoon game. But they did say there wasn't going to be days off in between these besides just one.
The game bets was the over-under on Durant, his scoring tonight. I think it was 33. Was that the number? Does he go over?
I'm going over. I would go
35?
Over
35? Would you go over 35?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't have options. That's the problem. They had to get Jeff Green going off. Like, who's going to be the guy for them on the road?
Yeah, just quantity.
He's just
going
to have to fill it up.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's just going to have to fill it up.
Okay, there's a bet.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one a little bit later on in the show. But when we come back, we're going to discuss these disgruntled superstars and how it relates to the Memphis Grizzlies. Obviously, these guys are all around the same age, and the situations all three appear to be completely different. So we're going to talk about that next. You're listening to the Gary Parish Show. Bennett Doyle in studio all this week. I got Brad Carson and Connor Dunning in here with me. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you.
Welcome back to the Gary Parish Show. Bennett Doyle in for GP all this week. I got Connor Dunning, Brad Carson here in studio with me. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN. I didn't even realize. I'm just seeing this pull up on Twitter. Did y'all realize this is a very famous day in history? It was, I guess, this time back in 1994. On this day back in 94, a big television event happened. Can y'all guess what it is?
I wasn't alive, so I'm going to go to Brad on this one.
This is the year I graduated from high school.
Yeah, big event in 1994 that an estimated 95 million people watched as it unfolded live on television.
Was it an O.J. car chase?
It was the O.J. Simpson white Ford Bronco chase. He led the LAPD and California Highway Patrol on a low-speed chase along Interstate 405 in L.A.
For folks my age, because I'm 45, I was a high school senior, so I saw the car chase. I remember coming home from a baseball game or something and seeing it on TV. And then the trial, you were born at that point.
Oh, yeah. Right? So and my, like, you know.
How old were you?
Well, dude, my, okay, so not, I was little, yeah, 94. Right, I was like 6 or 7.
This is all pre-Twitter and Facebook, and not that I'm telling you any revelation if you're in your 20s or 30s, but, like, for folks in their 40s now, this was like every night on all the CNN stuff, because you didn't have Twitter. It was CNN every night. And I remember by my freshman year when they were doing the trial.
Right.
You'll never forget where you were sitting when the trial verdict came down. It was like the Monica Lewinsky presser with Bill Clinton.
Well, so that's okay. So I was either 6 or 7 years old in 94. I think 7. But okay. I even at that age, I can remember my family like being locked in.
Oh, it was, everybody was all, because it's freaking O.J. Simpson.
Like you said, there's no, I mean, I guess we had the internet, but like nobody's like getting on Twitter or social media or anything like that. Like that's it. It's your TV and you're talking about it, or everybody's sitting around the TV watching it unfold.
And here's what you have now, and it's ironic because the Kardashian family is linked to that because the Kardashian's dad was the lawyer
was
in
lawyer,
the trial,
yeah.
One of them. So
Robert,
it's weird how we've come 30 years later and it's all linked to social media, but you had no build up to the guy who was in the Hertz commercials. He was in the what was it, Top Gun or whatever.
Naked Gun.
He was in all these movies, and he had this pretty great image, and then suddenly you're like, holy crap, this dude is a murderer.
Yeah.
This all reminds me of one of my favorite movie trivia things of all time, and you probably know this, Bennett. When they were making Terminator, O.J. Simpson was the number one choice for the T-800, and they didn't pick him because they didn't think he was scary enough, and he couldn't.
No, he was he was a cuddly kind of an image.
Uh-huh.
From an image perspective, he was cuddly.
In hindsight 2020, imagine if he was the Terminator.
Oh,
and then
God.
That happened. It would change everything.
It would change everything.
Not that all abusers or people that did probably what he did, and in fact the civil trial said as much.
Oh yeah. He wrote a book.
Like it is a telling cautionary tale of the bear suit to sort of, you know, the, what do they call it, the wolf in sheep's
clothing. Yeah.
I mean, because he was cuddly and he was on the TV commercials, and then you're like, oh my God, and then you see how that trial unfolded from both sides, and now you see it's like kind of like the Grim Reaper when he's on Twitter. And John on our show, on the Jason and John show, he's always like, oh, isn't this funny? I think that's partly age, and I'm not trying to be like ageist, like to me, there is nothing nice having seen all the sides of that trial about O.J. Simpson. That's a bad. He's an evil person, in my opinion.
I'm with you.
And then
you
breaking into hotel rooms in Vegas with guns. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. So
that's an interesting.
Yeah, on this day, 1994, the Bronco chase took place. Okay, so we got two stories today about young NBA superstars who appear to be less than happy with their current situation: Zion and Luka Doncic. We can start with Zion. This report came out today from Shams and The Athletic, and I'll just read it. Sources from all NBA corners have pointed to the Pelicans as a heap of dysfunction. There was growing unease between Stan Van Gundy and his players, as well as the front office, which came to a head on Wednesday when the Pelicans fired Stan Van Gundy. And so now the big rumor going around is that Zion's family is unhappy with the Pelicans' front office, that they haven't been able to put together the right elements to make Zion and his family happy, and that certain family members want Zion on another team. Now, the Pelicans, they control his contract for at least 3 more seasons. And for what it's worth, they say those who know Zion say he remains focused on basketball and helping the Pelicans win. But basically, these details have surfaced that have pointed to Zion's unhappiness. Apparently, there was a rift between him and the team when he left the bubble last season. Y'all remember he left for the urgent family matter in the bubble last season?
Yeah, and
neither the team nor the family disclosed what the issue was, but apparently the team kind of questioned why he was so urgent to leave. So there's that out there. And then his family didn't like Van Gundy. They never liked that hire from the beginning. So that makes sense why they fired him yesterday after just one season. But the family's unhappy with the Pelicans organization. They claim that the organization hasn't lived up to what they felt should be the standard for a star like Williamson. And numerous league executives have heard the complaints. They were confirmed by Pelicans officials. And also that Zion wasn't happy with the J.J. Redick trade. So there's real stuff out there.
They traded J.J., and who did they get back?
I don't know. They traded him to the Mavericks.
So he was at the Mavericks. That didn't work out for either team.
I'm looking at the roster right now, and to be honest, I don't remember who they got. I don't see somebody.
Here's my takeaway as a Memphian. I love this story because
it's great for us. Same division.
There's a lot of you just parse this several different ways. All right, but what I walk away from it as a listener is just that this is fantastic because going into the draft, you know, we didn't get the number one pick. I remember sitting in my car being like, "Oh man, that's too bad we didn't get the number one." And then you're like, "Holy crap! You know, we're gonna get John Morant. That's just almost as good, maybe better, who knows?" And it may be better in time if he's injury prone. But for them to be the small market franchise that's totally dysfunctional and not us for once is fantastic. I think it's great.
Agree completely. Like, you know, with Zion, like, let's just call it like it is. Like, he didn't want to be there from the beginning.
No, you don't want to go to New Orleans.
We saw his face on draft night.
No, it's
like, dude, he looked so bummed when he got selected by the Pelicans on draft night.
From his perspective,
he was going to New York.
Yeah.
The Knicks were supposed
to get that number
one
slot. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know,
the balls bounced weird. Look at us. We got second. I think we weren't projected to be second in the draft.
No,
we were supposed to be the fifth.
We
whatever.
Were sixth, I think.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't blame him. I don't blame them for saying that the organization is clearly a disaster
right now.
They got a lot of dysfunction. But I will say, to come out and say that for his family to come out and say that they haven't put the pieces around him,
right. He's
got an all-star on his team in Brandon Ingram. He's got Steven Adams. Josh Hart's a good player. Like Lonzo Ball's a nice young player. Mm-hmm. Like, dude.
Well, they beat the hell out of the Grizzlies, so we couldn't solve that puzzle.
Like, don't tell me, though, that they didn't, like, put players around Zion. Like, they clearly put players around him. I think this is just as simple as he didn't want to be there from the first place, and it was always going to come to a point where, like, the report that they feed the stuff to Shams to, like, get the report out there, like, we don't want to be here. We want to go somewhere
else.
Listen,
I think this is, like I said, it's the little kid who's in the small market who doesn't like either side of the ice cream cone. He doesn't like vanilla. He doesn't like chocolate. And so he's going to bitch. And I honestly am surprised when these small markets don't – when the superstars aren't constantly leaving. Like, when they don't leave, I'm almost surprised. And we're a small market, so I'm very much hesitant to say that because it's like – I want everything to be perfect for John Morant so that he stays here forever and loves our city. I don't want anything to go wrong. But I also think that that's when you're a head coach, you clearly have to coddle the superstar, right? I mean, that's just the way this goes.
It's true. I mean, you know, the good thing for us is, like, everybody's obviously saying the right things, but it really does appear like they're all on the same page. Like, they were ahead of schedule this year, and, you know, about halfway through the season, it was like, okay, we want to make the playoffs. And I think everyone was on the same page with that. Like the coaching staff, the players was like, okay, let's make the playoffs. They did. I just think that everything's trending in the right direction with the Grizzlies.
It's going great.
And they've got, you know, obviously I don't think they're going to do a ton this offseason, but I think they've set themselves up very well to do something really big in the off seasons to come. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, anything could happen. Like, I don't think we knew that these reports were going to come out anytime soon or whatever with these players, but as far as our situation,
you never hear it on Grizzlies. You never hear about it.
It looks like everything's pretty hunky dory with the Grizzlies right now, so that's a good thing.
If I had told you 3 years ago the Grizzlies were going to have the best front office and coach and future in the division, you would have slapped me. You were slapping.
I mean, it's true. It just seems that way.
So that's good.
It's all about consistency.
Okay, and so then there's Luka. And Luka spoke to, I told you I had the quote, he spoke to the Slovenian press today. He's trying to qualify Slovenia for the Olympics. And he was asked by their media about the Mavs firing GM Donnie Nelson. He said, quote, "It was kind of tough for me. I really like Donnie. I've known him since I was a kid, and he was the one that drafted me. It was tough for me seeing that, but I'm not the one making the decisions here." I think this Luka thing, though, is a little bit more different than the Zion thing. I don't think Luka's going anywhere. I think Luka is he wears his emotions on his sleeve. I mean, you can see it in the games.
He's a kid. He's still a kid.
He's still a kid. He's a bit of a whiner. I think we could say Luka's a bit of a whiner.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so he's going to show you his emotions. Like, he's going to wear them on his sleeve. So, I think Luka, regardless of Rick Carlisle leaving, which we talked about in the first segment, I think Luka's going to sign the Supermax. I think he's going to be in Dallas. We'll see what they do with Kristaps Porzingis, but I don't think that situation is as bad as the Pelican situation, where I just really think Zion just doesn't want to play there.
My perception of Dallas is that they get a lot of special treatment because it's Dallas and Mark Cuban's the owner. And
Loves Cuban.
And everybody loves Cuban. And
he's a
superstar owner. And he's had this savant coach for all this, the 15, 18 years or whatever, Rick Carlisle, who's now no longer there. But now that he's got this superstar. And it's like the nice shiny car has lost its luster a little bit here, because it seems like, you know, we're trying to call their baby ugly. Maybe the baby is just a little ugly.
Yeah, that, you know, one thing too with them is, like, I think that they, you know, we talk about the slow game with the Grizzlies, like, they jumped in pretty quick with Luka, the Mavs did. I think that because they're so used to winning there.
I like what they did, though. Like, I thought it was awesome. Go aggressive. Like, I'm pro go get stuff.
I'm pro that too, but if it doesn't work out, then
it is what it is. But
then
you got to
get this popping up.
And it does happen, but you have to jump so that you can make rounds.
Well, and them taking that big swing for that trade with Kristaps Porzingis, don't forget, they also got Tim Hardaway in that trade.
Yeah.
So it's actually turned out to be a great one for them. And
he's a good player.
I weirdly feel better about the Mavericks now than I did yesterday, though.
Interesting.
Because I think them getting a new coach in there, that Luka actually wants to be in there.
Yeah.
I mean, the reports are coming out that Jamal Mosley, their assistant coach, has a lot of support from within the organization and from Luka. He coached a game for them this year against the Knicks, and as soon as it was over, Luka said he can be the head coach for sure. So I think if you get a head coach in there that Luka has a real relationship with, you can salvage this. They were a couple minutes away from knocking out the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
They just got to figure out, get Kristaps healthy, just get him at least barely healthy.
Sure.
And next season they can make some noise.
What were they up 3-2? They were up 3-2 on
the Clips. It's not panic time.
Yeah.
If Carlisle was still there, there would be so much tension. I think that they would need to be kind of panicky.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of like they're just burning it down. Get rid of all the bad, bring in the good.
So I think,
and play defense.
Agreed, yeah.
Also that,
I think that situation, that rift is as simple as you let Luka pick his next head coach.
Exactly.
And
everything
should be good there.
The coach.
With Zion, I mean, I think you let Zion pick his next coach too as well. But again, I go back to, I just don't think Zion wants to play there because that organization is a disaster.
It's weird.
It's a mess. Yeah. Putting Steven Adams next to Zion Williamson makes no sense. Yep. It makes no sense.
So I think
you can make a trade with the Pelicans. I mean, there's pieces there you could take.
They've got all the assets in the world.
I mean, I don't want to help them.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot there to be plucked.
I want to watch them burn. Okay, when we come back, I've got four stories, including Taylor Jenkins destroying the hell out of that guitar last night. We're going to talk about that. There is a new bowl game that is coming this season that sounds completely ridiculous. I'm going to tell you about that.
Oh, I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah, there's going to be a new feature to every single NBA game next season. And an interesting post from the Grizzlies today. I know you guys talked about it a little. It got me thinking, and I'll tell you why next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show. Brad Carson, Connor Dunning in studio with me. This is Bennett Doyle filling in all this week. We are on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout,
15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
God killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon.
All right, welcome back to the Gary Parrish Show. Bennett Doyle filling in for GP all this week while he is on a much-needed vacation. I got Brad Carson and Connor Dunning here in studio with me. And now for my favorite segment of the Gary Parrish Show. It's four stories. Let's do it.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
All right, guys, I'm going to be honest. I talked about it yesterday. Memphis 901 FC, they had their home opener last night. I said it was going to take a lot for Taylor Jenkins to live up to Gary Parrish's guitar smash.
Yeah, that was an all-timer.
And I'll be honest with you, I think Jenkins lived up. I mean, if you watch the video, and you can see it on 901 FC's social pages, yeah, on the Grizzlies' social pages, Taylor Jenkins, probably the head coach of the Grizzlies, Taylor Jenkins, probably has the greatest guitar smash in the history of the 901 FC guitar smash. It was pinpoint accuracy. The guitar exploded into a million pieces, but left the handle intact for him be able to throw it up in the air, mm-hmm, and do kind of the Conor McGregor strut as he walked off. So I thought it was a great guitar smash. And again, I think he gave GP a run for his money. I just got to be honest.
I'm looking at the pictures and the videos because I want to compare this, and I want to be careful here. I think Gary is still number one on my list.
Well, Gary, because Gary had, and I think they still did the smoke bombs last night, yes, after Jenkins, but when they did it with Gary, they all had, like, the Bluff City Mafia, like, my, yes, buddy Alex, who's
it was all
part
coordinated
of Bluff City Mafia.
Right.
It was, like, different colors, yes, of smoke, and so it was like, yes, a big event afterwards, and Gary comes and does the flex and gets the photo for
it's
social.
It's
yeah,
like a, no, Michael Bay movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
it was very
this
nice.
Is, this,
yes,
is one of the reasons, and I'm not trying to kiss your host's ass, because God knows I don't need to do that. I spent 10-plus years with this man in this studio before you have spent the last two with him.
Uh-huh.
But I must say, one of the things that does make this man good at his job, Gary, when he plans some stuff, Gary plans. You know how he plans for the show.
Yes.
He planned,
absolutely,
his 901 FC hit the exact same way. He had his photographer trailing him. He had coordinated with the Bluff Mafia and a walkover,
yeah,
with
Bluff
photo
Mafia,
ops,
yeah,
with smoke bombs. He did he had shades. He had multiple layers of clothes. It was the whole entourage. And for that reason, I still have to keep Gary at number one.
Okay. Well, I will go with that as well. So anyways, I was
smart
very
idea
impressed. 901 FC got the win. This is the start of a three-game homestand.
But Taylor
for
was
them
really good.
Yep, start of a three-game homestand for them. So go check them out Saturday night. They got another match coming up on Saturday at AutoZone Park. Speaking of soccer, the Euro Cup group play continued today. I've made it a point to talk about the Euro Cup every single day because I've been watching it. I'm loving it.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, winning a little money, uh-huh, on it. Ukraine beat North Macedonia today 2-1. And then cool moment in Belgium, Denmark. The reason I wanted to bring this up, in the 10th minute, they paused to pay tribute to Christian Eriksen. He was the Denmark star who
had a heart attack on the field and died on the field. They resuscitated him, brought him back to life. They said he was dead for a few minutes. They paid tribute to him. Belgium ends up winning that one 2-1, and then they advanced to the round of 16. And the crowd, it's in Copenhagen, this event. And so, like, the Denmark fans were just going crazy. Like, I'll be honest, like, if you're kind of a casual soccer fan like I am, go watch the highlights from that match today. Even though Denmark lost, like, the crowd is something really to behold. Like, you should definitely check out the highlights. And when you watch something like that, that's why soccer is really cool, in my opinion. And then Netherlands ended up beating Austria. My guy Memphis Depay scored the first goal today for the Netherlands.
People are really watching this, though. I mean, it's on Big Boy ESPN.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Reese Davis plugged into it.
Well, in the time, like, okay, so, like,
it's been a ton of fun.
I'm prepping the show. I'm prepping the show in the morning, and it's freaking on at 8 a.m. Like, you know, it's we never have anything on at 8 a.m. on a weekday. So that's kind of cool. It's just something different. And then I wanted to give a quick shout out to the U.S. women's soccer team beating Nigeria 2-0 yesterday. They bring their unbeaten streak to 42 games. That is one shy of tying the second longest such streak in team history. So U.S. women continue to roll, and they'll obviously be a part of the Olympics later this summer.
Story number two.
Okay, this is pretty hilarious. I don't know if it's hilarious as much as it is stupid. The new L.A. Bowl at SoFi Stadium. You've obviously seen SoFi Stadium.
Yes.
This place looks amazing.
It's sick.
The new L.A.
It's like
stadium.
$5 billion.
Yeah,
stadium.
The Chargers and the Rams are going to obviously play it. So the new L.A. Bowl at SoFi Stadium has officially been named the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. This is going to be a matchup of the Mountain West's number one selection taking on the Pac-12's number five selection. Game going to take place December 18th. And this is a real thing. This bowl at SoFi Stadium, their inaugural bowl, is going to be called the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. He's, of course, the late night host on ABC. And, dude, I've got nothing against Jimmy Kimmel. Like, fine, he's a good late night host. Yeah. I got nothing wrong with Jimmy Kimmel. But, like, you're in L.A.,
so
there's literally stars everywhere, and this is the star that you pick to name after your inaugural SoFi Bowl game? I don't get it.
I want to defend this move. First of all, you nailed it.
Of course you love Jimmy Kimmel.
I love Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, my God.
You know where he went to school?
UNLV,
right?
I'm sure.
UNLV. Yes, yes.
Well, they should have named the damn UNLV Bowl after him.
And that's part of it, because they're taking the number one seed from the Mountain West, which is the same conference, and then they're pairing it up with the fifth best Pac-12 team.
Okay, but let's face it, the UNLV ain't never getting that number one Mountain West spot. They're not playing. It's going to take some time for them to play in that bowl.
You know, they won zero games last year.
Dude.
They are playing where the Raiders play. But he's way into the football thing in the Mountain West, in the Pac-12. And, of course, he's got his own I bet you people will watch it more because of the name, though. Like, some of these crap bowls are named like the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Now, that one's obviously the Clorox, Zippity Doodah Bowl live from Jack. You know, there's all these weird bowls that nobody watches.
Well, so this is a big thing with
me. Of course,
somebody
does watch
this. This is a big thing with me and Gary when it comes to the names of stadiums, because we don't understand.
I heard you guys talk about this.
Yeah, so, like, for instance, the Moda Center where the Blazers
play. Yeah, you were talking about Pfizer Forum, Moda.
Like, these companies spend millions of dollars to get the naming rights to these stadiums, and it's like, no one knows what the hell that is.
I would argue it's not practical for a company if you don't have a household name that you want to make even bigger, and it also doesn't work as good for the franchise. Like, I contend that the Memphis Grizzlies have one of the most kick-ass sponsors with FedEx, because it's clean.
Everyone knows what FedEx is.
You know what it is.
Yep.
I loved it when, like,
it rolls off the tongue, too.
Yeah, like
FedEx form.
The Bucks used to have I always thought they were right when they had Harley Davidson on theirs, right? Because Harleys are made in Milwaukee, and now they've got some like weird ass.
They should
sponsor,
not have gotten rid of Harley.
Pfizer. Like, I'm not interested in Googling a name either. Like,
no,
that. So.
No, not at all. And again, like SoFi. What is SoFi?
I have no idea.
I have no idea what SoFi.
Apparently,
is.
They have a lot of money and they just want to spend it on
they
stadium
a lot of money.
Renames.
There's no doubt about that. So yeah, it's gonna
Allegiant Air made sense to me in Vegas.
That makes
Allegiant,
you know,
the only damn
is.
Airline that flies into that market.
Yeah. So I mean, again, like, okay, Jimmy Kimmel, fine, but like I would have gone more like Superstar. star, like you know, what about like the Leonardo DiCaprio Bowl or something
that? Oh, okay, I see where you're going with this.
Denzel Washington Bowl. Like,
how did they cut the deal?
Let's do something.
Did he pay for this? He had to pay for
this. How did he get this?
I bet the network paid for it.
ABC paid for it?
I bet you ABC bought that.
That's what I was going to say. I think part of it, though, you have to find a celebrity that's like, yeah, I'll put my name on a bowl game. And like, let's be honest,
yeah, you get some real cachet. And you know he'll play that.
I guess that's true.
And it's like, come on.
If you're the network, though, and you're in a ratings battle, maybe that works for you. I don't know how that works.
Like, honestly, like, if Leo or Denzel did it, it would be embarrassing for them.
Well, let's hold on a second. So ESPN and Disney are all connected to that. It must be an ABC game, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah,
it's got to be.
See, that's the connection.
How would that work out? See, like, it not being,
so that's
you
the
know?
Connection. It's all ABC, and they bought their own game.
I think you figured it out.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think you nailed it.
Yeah, so SoFi Stadium, it is going to be the home of the Jimmy Kimmel Ball. They're also, dude, that stadium, they're hosting.
It's so
they're
sick. The stadium is amazing.
So they're hosting the Super Bowl this upcoming season, followed by the College Football National Championship game, and then they're going to be the site of the opening and closing ceremonies for the LA Olympics in 2028. So you're going to see a lot of SoFi Stadium here in the future.
Story number three.
The NBA is going to introduce their brand new Wilson game ball at the Chicago NBA Combine later on this month. This ends their 37-year partnership with Spalding. And Wilson general manager Kevin Murphy told Yahoo that the game ball will retail at $150 for consumers. The priority is currently to distribute the ball to as many teams and players as quickly as possible. But I thought that was a little, $150 for a basketball? Like is he saying that you like go to Target and buy $150 Wilson authentic NBA basketball?
When I used to work at Academy Sports when I was in college, we sold like legit NBA level,
the authentic NBA basketball
one, and they would be expensive. They were really expensive.
$150 is ridiculous.
That's pretty ridiculous.
I don't have enough money. I always have the plastic kind that the Grizzlies gave out the game. My balls for my kid. I'm a cheapskate. Like Jake and I, all we play are through those like plastic ones.
Yeah, like he got something like you're missing the skin, like have the fuzz like on them and stuff.
It slips out of your hand as you're trying to dribble. Yeah,
I have plastic balls.
Yeah. No, I mean, $150 for a basketball is insane.
No, like, it makes it nice when you're playing rec and you get a real nice
leather. Real basketball.
You're like,
wow,
that's a real ball.
It feels like you found the Holy Grail.
Like, really
when you
is.
Go to the rec center and you find an actual ball.
Okay, here's my question for you guys. Who's going to be the first player that complains about the new basketball?
LeBron, 100%. No question.
He probably is on Twitter today complaining about it to get back in the news again.
LeBron is my favorite player of all time. He has complained more than any player in NBA history. He tells his story.
It actually, you know, we talk about LeBron and we make fun of him for like all this grandstanding to get his name out there, but it's
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.